Welcome to Goodreads Better Friends.
My name's Aisha.
And my name's Morgan.
And this is our poetry episode. Happy National Poetry Month.
Oh my gosh. I've been so excited about this episode. I like how we're getting in right under the wire, right at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
We're gonna leave with a bang.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
And this episode's gonna be amazing, so.
Yes, so Aisha had this amazing idea to invite some local poets that we adore to record themselves reading their favorite poem. I think they're all reading original poems, so yeah, we're gonna hear from a ton of different poets. I don't know why I said that so weird. Poets. And yeah, I'm so pumped.
Before we get into that, you have to hear us read a bunch of poems that we love, so.
Yes!
So who wants to go first?
Do you want to take turns?
Yeah, like okay. I do one, you do one.
Okay, you okay. Start.
You want to do rock, paper, oh. You,
okay,
rock, paper, scissors.
Rock, paper, scissors, go! Oh, okay, rock, paper, scissors, go!
Oh my gosh!
Rock, paper, scissors, go! Okay, so we just did the same thing three times in a row. Okay. This is great radio. Rock, paper, scissors, go! Okay, you killed
yes.
me.
Yes. My dog is in my face.
She does not understand rock, paper, scissors, and she's frankly a little scared.
Yes. If you hear the highway, I have my patio door open because it's so nice outside. I just can't. Yes. Just can't close it.
It's a beautiful, sunshiny evening.
I've been waiting for the time of year when I can just leave it open. It's so nice.
It's a little taste of nature.
Yes, it is. So the first poem I'm going to read is called Revenge Body by Rachel Wiley from her book Revenge Body.
It's a new book, right?
That Morgan got me for my birthday. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love Rachel Wiley. She is my absolute favorite poet. So you should check out this one and check out Nothing Is Okay.
Nothing Is Okay.
That's what it is. Nothing Is Okay. I was going to say Nobody Is Okay.
She's from Columbus, too. She's kind of local.
And I think she lives in Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think she lives very far from here. Alright, so this is called Revenge Body. Don't stare at me.
Okay, not looking.
Me, who has read at the Poetry Slam a million times, don't look at me while I'm reading.
It's different when it's, like, intimate like this.
That's true, because it's only two people.
Right.
Revenge Body. And what if the rumor is true, and there is a skinny woman in prison inside my bod, begging to get out, and what if I swallow my toothbrush one morning, and she were to sharpen it against my spine and shiv her way free, leaving this fat hole behind, a cicada shell? Will you call her a thief when she comes to collect everything denied her for the sake of fatness? The racks upon racks of clothes, the unsettled for love, the unashamed sex, the glorious visibility, the basic fucking decency. All of it handed to her in benefaction, no matter how rudely she grabs. I am not at all saying that this fat makes me any kind of saint. I am entirely capable of vengeance and pettiness in this very large body, but I am saying that I have never known this thin woman, and I cannot but imagine that she has fermented inside me a bitter concentration of withholding, that she is so very hungry and so very tired of food that she would certainly come for what is owed her. The same fat you sneer at now, the same fat sneered at without consequence, might be your one and only advantage, might be a gift, might be the only barrier between you and a penless grenade who would wear your wedding dress better than you ever could while politely fucking your betrothed, standing up on the very altar where you were meant to say your vows, leaving you alone with only the cake for comfort.
Dang.
Rachel!
I am excited to read that book.
It's gonna be so good. Yeah.
Okay, well then I will also read OPS. Other people should. So this is a poem by Ashley Hayes. It is called Temple. The pastor says we are having church, and I begin to wonder what it means to possess a thing you cannot touch. I caught the Holy Ghost once after chasing him in the back pews, held on to him long enough to convince my mother of salvation, then went home and set him free in the wild. How pompous of man to think himself a temple. Don't you know that I have called out to God in emptier structures? The doors of the church are open. Come, sit. Lay your burdens at the altar, eat the body and its crumbs, sip the blood until you are satisfied. I am unlearning how to erect myself as a stained glass home. This pipe organ heart is guilty of calling out the godless, especially men who peek during prayer. Yeah.
That was good.
That was a good poem.
Oh my gosh.
That was Ashley Hayes. Yes.
So the next one is from our very own Quiet Storm. I don't think that you can purchase her book anywhere. I think it's a self-published book.
Okay.
So, but it's called Tornado Warnings and Still Winds. And Quiet Storm is an amazing local poet who you will hear later.
Yeah, you'll hear her later. We'll also put her socials up, and you might be able to get her book through that. So, yeah.
This is called Breaking Bread and Raised Glasses. It's so good. My cup runneth over of lonely nights of demon-infested mind games. It pours out hot oil, popping on unexpected surfaces. As it burns and blisters the skin of mine, I find nothing left to pour. This cup is empty, with no refill in sight. I get tired of cooking up the same old responses to these same old recipes. Just because I automatically don't want to leave you with my scraps, my leftovers, standing tall with so much on my plate, singing over home-cooked meals is its own kind of baptism. I've been dishing out meals from the same pot lately. Drained hot water to loosen up the noodles. I can take breaks whenever I need, but I'm still tired when I arise. When I stretch my muscles out and crack my knuckles, I think as I lace up this apron, always thinking about everything and nothing at all. I find myself sad in the midst of happy occasions. Even through my smile, my meals of joy can make you think otherwise. I'm not genuinely happy, not yet secure in my own struggles, so I find your accomplishments a little disheartening. That sounded selfish. Probably because it slightly was. I feel your struggles deeply. So I add them to mine, stir them into my grandmother's recipe with no expectations in you returning any favors. I come off as strong. But this is me showing you just how crippled I am, how set in my ways I am. I will always take on another order, even with my plate filled sky high. No worries, though. Add another dish. Bring it out piping hot and set it at this table. I'll devour it before the main course, before you realize none of these plates were mine to begin with. They all will be gone, digested into a black hole because I swallow pain so easily, even more so when it is not my own. So let's feast, break bread, raise these empty glasses to the heavens in hope that this drought ceases and that the sky opens up its gates to cleanse these sorrows. Once again, filling me back up to repeat this life cycle. Depression is served.
Ooh.
Quiet Storm. She's so good.
That was excellent.
She's so good. Yeah, we got a snap for Quiet Storm.
Quiet Storm.
She's amazing. Absolutely That's amazing. Awesome. What's your next poem?
So I'm going to read. I guess I'm going to start off reading a poem that I wrote a long time ago that I completely forgot about until I found it in a notebook recently. If you listen to this podcast, and especially if you go to the Poetry Slams, you always hear me saying that I don't write poetry, I just appreciate other people's.
Liar who lies!
But I guess I did write poetry at some point, and I've started writing poetry again, mostly just inspired by the amazing writers that I'm surrounded by. Mm-hmm. So, let's see what I can do. This one is, like I said, I think it's from 2018, or at least the last thing I had written in the notebook before this was from 2018. And
old
so,
shit.
Old shit. And I think it's very clear that I wrote this because I worked 2 customer service jobs at the time, and it's just how I felt. Okay, this is untitled Old Shit. I love watching humans. Intricate personalities cobbled together from diminutive pebbles of experience. No two the same, no two singularly unique. You wear your heart on your sleeve, which was ripped by your brother in a seemingly harmless tussle. A tattoo to honor your mother, a chipped tooth from a leapfrog accident in middle school, a hair tie on your wrist so you can tie back the curtain when the time comes to focus. Nails painted black because it's easy to fill in with Sharpie when they chip. You wear a Fish t-shirt, not because you are a fan or even listen to the band, but because you kept it when he left you. Every time you wear it marks a triumph in your mind, the one thing he didn't take from you. And humans, they always take, don't they? Always drain. How is it that they drain me, pilfer my soul every damn day, and still enchant me so, fill me with wonder and hope? How can I find us so revolting and incredibly charming in tandem? Dichotomy indeed.
Actually, what?
So I was shocked when I read it. I was like, did I write this?
Hey.
Yeah, so thank you.
Okay.
That was fun.
Okay, I need your opinion. Should I read this one or this one?
Wait. Oh, okay, I do like that one.
Oh,
Oh, I love plastic flowers. Okay, plastic flowers.
Okay. This is untitled, but I guess we can call it plastic flowers. Old shit. Very old shit. Well, not very old. I think this is, like, one of the first poems that I wrote this year after, like, a big rut of not being able to write anything.
Okay.
So, I spend all my time alone contemplating what it means to have a home full of plastic flowers. For my next holiday spent alone, I will carve a smile into a pumpkin. I bet you didn't know I hadn't done that since I was a child. I make you so uncomfortable that you can't invite me to the party. When I see plastic flowers in houses, I don't know how I should feel. Does it mean they couldn't keep anything alive, or does it mean they've experienced so much death that they can't take the loss of any other living thing? I spend a lot of time alone thinking about what it means to be me. Perpetual hooded figure always says the wrong things. Always says the weird things. My relationships with other people never look normal. Plastic flowers, because something needing you to keep it alive is an inconvenience. We don't know the root is rotting until the petals start falling off and it's too late. I spend a lot of time alone thinking about what it means to have skin. If God becomes the pilot, does that mean I don't have to think? Perpetual walking membrane, walking dead. They say I laugh at everything as if that doesn't keep me alive. Plastic flowers because they don't move or grow. Perpetual hooded figure is perpetually standing still, making, taking apart, and remaking handmade halos of plastic flowers. Hoping to never know death again, never shake its hand, no matter how detached from reality I feel. When someone plucks a flower from its home in the dirt, it has already died. But to you, it is just as beautiful in your hand until it wilts the more it craves to be closer to the ground than the sun. What does it say about my relationship with the self if I'm envious of plastic? They do hold things I often set aside for my next birthday spent alone. I will be the loudest in the room when the candles burn out, and the dog will bark, and the cat will chase the dog. And I will sit on the kitchen floor with a fork and think about how much time I spend alone, and that if plastic flowers held happiness, it would be infinite. That is one of my favorite poems.
I love that one.
I was such proud when I wrote that one.
Intimate portrait there at the end, too. I love it.
Thank you.
Yay! That's a good one. Yeah, I feel like I remember the first time you read that one. I was like, oh, okay.
I was really proud of that. That was like after a rut, and I barely had to edit that one at all.
That's when you know it's good, yeah. I feel like, too. Okay, the next one I'm going to read is, I debated whether I should read it or not. I just kind of wrote it when I was feeling a little emotional one day, so forgive me. This is untitled.
Untitled shit.
And very short, but that's okay. Okay, here we go. My father loves me in the same way he loves God. Which is to say, he enjoys the idea, but lacks the discipline to be even remotely devoted. He pays his tithes on holidays, but in the space between, I am resigned to a collection of portraits on the wall of his living room, a saccharine altar that declares my holy presence in his life. So that's
love
that
it.
One.
That last image is so solid.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Hope he doesn't listen to the podcast. I bet he doesn't.
Well, so. It's okay. We can shit on fathers on this podcast.
All right.
I'm trying to decide if I want to read my own shit or other people's shit. Should I be selfish?
I want you to read your own shit, personally. Because I feel like you don't read your own poetry on the episode, on the show a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of cool. We got a bunch of people who wrote in or sent in their own shit. You read your own shit if you want to.
I think I'm going to do it, and I think I'm going to stick with the theme of fathers.
Ooh, all right.
I'm going to make you cry. Okay, this is called The Letters Number 5. On my 12th birthday, you came over with a heart-shaped pillow, a pink diary, and a pen with a feather tip. Never worked, and I'm not a fan of the color pink. I stopped writing in diaries after I caught Mom reading it. You slipped up and said I was 14, and I still loved you more. We packed our bags and begged to stay with you for a week, which always turned to 2. I talk about you to no one. Hey, Dad, blink if you like any of these colors. Blue, green, chartreuse, sapphire, which I always thought was pink, but I guess is light blue. I broke down in my living room nearly 6 years to the day. I didn't know your favorite color, and it follows me around. Red, maybe? I will always be haunted by what I know and what I don't. When Uncle Jimmy died, that was the first time I saw you soften. Did you know I adopted this? I wish you wouldn't have said all those things about Mom at that Thanksgiving. Then the year before you died would have meant more. I blame you for never growing up. I have to remain self-aware to walk around your footprints, creating apologies in me for things I haven't done yet. I remember nothing before 2014 on purpose, always a child in a corner, always hiding from my ghosts and my vacancies. I fell in love with a boy like you. Promised myself that it would never happen again. You convinced everyone that Mom kept this from you. She cried after you died when she thought we'd resent her for it. I've never felt motherless. But Dad, I do recall not knowing your favorite color. Purple, maybe? Did you ever listen to a song until it had no meaning? Hey, Dad, what's your favorite song? I want to remember something before 2014. Once, after I moved on my own, I smelled your beer. Bud Light, right? I thought it tasted like cigarette ash water and you thought it was funny. Anyway, I smelled beer and incense. I don't know what scent you had, but it hung in the walls long after burning out. I recall you drenching yourself in cologne to cover the weed smell. Hey, Dad, I just know I got a lot of myself from you. I wish I could pull them out, line them up, and put you together. I wish I knew your favorite color. Or if you liked when the moon looks like you can grab it out the sky. Did you ever look up? I always look up and wonder if your favorite color is that time when the sun is setting and the sky looks reddish orange. Hey, Dad, my favorite color is green. What's yours?
Man, that one gave me goosebumps.
Sorry.
Oh, no, don't apologize. That's good.
Thanks.
Oh, wow.
We got daddy issues on this podcast. It's fine.
at least they make beautiful art.
Yeah.
So we have that. Okay, I have one more poem that I wrote.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Is that okay?
Is that all right? No, that's okay. Fine.
Excuse me, little lady.
We got three Morgan poems.
They're the only ones I've ever written, and so hope the Poetry Slam gets used to me saying them over and over again.
Yay.
I have this is unfinished shit, and I have like a couple lines in it that I don't love, so I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't just like tell you that. I should just let you believe that I like my poetry. this one I wrote when I had a lot of wine.
Love it.
It's called Ode to the Random Number Generator. They say it was because of my strict upbringing. They being not therapists, not professionals, but the few friends to whom I have divulged the details of my affliction. My affliction being my paralyzing, all-consuming inability to make any decision ever. To some, this may sound like more of a cute little inconvenience, summoning images of couples arguing over where to get dinner, the meme of the boyfriend who taped names of a restaurant to a CNC so that fate could choose their quick service meal of the evening. The rabbit says, IHOP. There is nothing cute about my daily inability to decide which socks I will wear, which direction to turn while on a jog, which tea or coffee I will drink in the morning, which store I will buy my face lotion from. I am wholly codependent on my random number generator. Random.org, you complete me. You select what activities I will partake in, which book I will read next. You are summoned under the table to decide which chef special I will dine on this evening and disappear while my date is none the wiser. You likely chose my outfit for tonight, or at least my shoes, my necklace, which beer I am drinking from the tap. Sometimes you help me decide whether I should cancel my plans or dye my hair rainbow. Odds are no, evens are yes, take a chance, flip the coin, now you get it. They say it was because of my strict upbringing. I was not allowed to make my own decisions until I was an adult, and then I was suddenly handed the reins. No instruction, no training. One day I am commanded which shampoo I can use, which foods I will eat, which movie I may watch. The next, I am told to choose from a course catalog to determine my whole future. A girl could crumble under that kind of pressure. So that was...
Damn! Damn, that was good.
That felt good, though. Writing that poem was nice. I kind of wrote it. I was, like, reading it out loud to Brody while he was on the couch, like, playing Elden Ring. And I was like, what do you think of this line? He's like, good. But it was good to write it because I have struggled more with my, like, obsession with letting fate and numbers choose a lot of my, make a lot of my decisions for me. And it's not something that I, like, openly talk about a lot, but it's something that, like, I deal with on a daily basis, like, on a hourly basis, like, on all the time. So yeah, it was kind of cool to write about it a little
bit.
Make it kind of fun. So, yeah.
Cool. I need to invest in a random number generator.
It's random.org. I just pull it up on my web browser. Although, I guess I should not, like, encourage people to their dependency on it like I have. but...
It's either that or I'm going to end up being late because I can't decide on an outfit. Like,
okay, you're right,
oh
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's I do. I get paralyzed with my inability to make decisions a lot of the time, and the number generator has helped me a lot.
Relatable as fuck.
So yeah, random.org. Big plug. All right, so do you have anything else to read?
I think I've read everything I wanted. Okay. There is this one Rachel Wiley poem, though, in this book that's real good.
Do it.
It's really sad, though, but it's really good.
Right.
And I feel like it's relatable when we talk about how hard it is to find a therapist and to figure out if your therapist is in network with your insurance and then to actually get a fucking appointment with a therapist. Like, oh my God, it's awful. So anyway, this is called What Brings Me In Today. My friend reaches across two time zones every night to tell me how he might end his life. Challenges me to give him reasons to live. No matter what time he calls, I pick up and charm a belt from around his neck, slow dance his sneakers back from a ledge, or summon just enough light in my voice to scatter pills back into their bottles. One day my phone goes silent, deathly so. I call him, it's one ring in a full voicemail box. I smoke a scrounge bowl of sticky resin, sleep fitfully, dream that my teeth are tiny sandcastles dissolving under the tide of my tongue, dream of swallowing myself whole, dream that I find my friend in the ocean and we swim down together. Homegoing king and queen of Atlantis, waking up is a fish gasping betrayal. I call in sick to my cubicle job, call the number on my insurance card, ask if a therapist is covered under my plan, call three of the referrals and leave messages. I take the bus to a salon where I ask to have my dead ends clipped and my fingers buffed and painted. I choose a delicate pink called Rosy Future. I search for my friend on Google, tacking obituary on as a new surname, text him little red heart emojis, look up plane tickets across two time zones, find no wings in my bank balance, and buy an opulent pair of discount sunglasses to wear on the bus ride back home. In my dirty apartment, I inventory all the pills I have, text more lonely red heart emojis, and think about Atlantis. I return to work the next day where I am reprimanded for not having an excuse from a doctor. I spend my lunch break calling therapists and gnawing my fresh manicure down to the quick. The 9th or 10th therapist answers after only 3 rings. I take the first appointment available and after work wear my new sunglasses on the number 2 bus for an hour in the opposite direction from my dirty apartment. In a sage green waiting room fogged in white noise, I fill out a clipboard of paperwork before telling a small, kind-looking woman about my friend who doesn't want to live anymore.
Dang, that one was a hard hitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Ooh, relatable.
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah, our mental health care system is...
Fucked.
It's not great.
It's not fun.
I've been ghosted by more, like, healthcare or behavioral health providers that I've called than I have, like, dudes in my entire life. Like, they just don't call back.
And then when they do, like, their next available date is, like, 2 months out. And it's like, okay, like, by then I'm just going to be just, like...
I'm crippled by anxiety
I know. Exactly. So I'm like, not only am I crippled by anxiety right now, I used all of my energy to contact you. In 2 months, I won't be able to do it again. So,
yeah.
This was me being proactive. Now I can't be proactive.
Yeah. It's, Shir Zamata has a really good bit about looking for basically what her poem is about, basically what we're talking about. I'm going to look it up and send it to you. Maybe I'll post it somewhere on our thingies. But yeah, it's very much like you can't get them to answer or call back, and when you do, you're like, help!
Yeah.
Please help me!
I'm on the edge here.
Right. Alright, so now we're getting to the super fun part. Well, I mean, reading our poetry was fun, but listening to other people's poetry...
It's always so inspiring.
Yes.
It's fun.
Absolutely one of my favorite activities.
Yeah.
So,
every time I don't... Sorry.
No, you go.
Every time I don't go to a poetry slam, I feel empty a little.
Yeah, me too.
I hate that it takes place on a Sunday, because on a Sunday I would just want to sit at home sometimes, and it's so easy to convince yourself not to go. But I also know that if I don't go, I'm going to miss out on all this, like, heartfelt poetry from other people, because the Dayton poets are just so fucking good.
They are so good.
I love our community.
I always walk away from the slam so inspired, too. Like,
me too. Yeah.
I just feel good about life afterwards. Even though most of the poems are pretty fucking depressing. Not most. a lot of them. But, yeah, it's inspiring. Mm-hmm. And, man, I hate it when people, like, say that Dayton doesn't have a lot going for it. Because I'm like, go to a fucking poetry slam and you'll see there's how so much raw talent there is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's so much art in Dayton.
Oh, I love it.
I'll fight anybody who says that. I love
this place.
Ooh. It's on site.
Yeah. Do it.
Just like Amber Heard.
I'll back you up.
It's on site with Amber Heard. Amber Turd.
Oh, my God.
Slower. Oh, right. Just kidding, we don't slut shame on this podcast.
Right. We can shame for other things.
Like shitting on your husband's bed. Yeah.
There we go. Mm-hmm. All right, let's, on that note, who wants to go first? Gee, who do you think? Who are we going to slam in here? You going to start with a familiar face for our listeners with, like, Link?
Yes.
All right.
We love Link. You guys have heard that episode. How to punch a zombie. Don't kill me, Link. How to punch a Nazi. It's actually one of our most popular episodes too. Link is just a lot of fun. Just a good-hearted dude.
Yeah. So Link is Lincoln Schreiber. He is one of the hosts of Dayton Poetry Slam. That's how we met him. Mm-hmm. And he is a professor of English, I believe.
Yeah, I think creative writing.
Oh, okay. And he's amazing. He's like, he gives us a shout out every poetry slam,
which is so sweet.
Usually like twice a poetry slam if both of us go up to read. Mm-hmm. And he's just an excellent person. I forgot where I was going with that. Oh yeah, and he was like our second guest, I think.
Your, yeah, because the first one was my sister.
Yeah. And so it was a good way for us to get our foot in the door of having guests on too, because he did a great job. Very responsive. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Easy to talk to, definitely. Absolutely. If that's anything, that's one thing that Link has.
Right.
He is so easy to talk to. Great. He
gives good hugs too.
Yeah. So, very good hugs. 10/10.
10/10. So he's going to do two poems. The first one is called February.
Outside my kitchen window, in the dead of February, a tree is frozen. It took only a night to freeze its budding arms into their tracks, as if they only needed a little love and an oil can to bring them alive once more. Just the day before, it swayed in the breeze of an oncoming storm, waiting and playing with hardly a care. Now, it waits for the sun's kiss, and I hope it'll come soon. It's been a long-ass winter. And on the other side of the window sits three lonely houseplants growing in one planter, kept alive in a, quote, dummy-proof vase that allows the precise amount of water to be delivered, lest I may kill them with the same neglect that I showed her. They only need a moderate amount of sunshine to survive, so I put them in the kitchen that faces west, the direction she fled when she left. I had to put them there. I couldn't bear the sight of their unwavering, steadfast nature looking at me as I prayed towards the east for her return. They stare at me, only show me the truth of it all. We only need a moderate amount of sunlight to survive. But here, in the dead of February, the truth shines through my double-pane, badly caulked kitchen windows. These three are not here to mock me or judge me, but to show me that I still live. I see a tree that has been frozen solid in the background of three vibrant, living entities. I see everything that I have gone through in my life, and I truly lost the past and completely frozen in time. She can't hurt me anymore. She's been frozen in the West. Those three aren't ashamed of me. They serve as my protectors. They stand guard to keep me from journeying into the West for something I can never find. They tell me that I shouldn't waste what's left of my time searching. There's a frozen tree, and there are three breathing, functioning, living entities staring at each other, each of them daring the other to cross the line, lovers that will never talk or touch, but only stare at each other. And that's where we are right now, in forever. Because that tree will outlive us all. Those houseplants will one day, no matter how dummy-proof that vase is, will die. And that's the truth of it all. We can never fade, only be stared at through a double-paned window, and it will only grow. And the sunlight will always be moderate, except in February, where you're lucky to see it at all.
And this poem is called The Denny's Poem.
It's 2:00 in the morning, and 5 of us stand outside the awning of Denny's. All poets, all tired, and all of us have spent an evening surrounded by the words of others. We're currently stranded because of a rainstorm that would make Noah head for cover. I couldn't see my car, only 25 feet away. And during a slight lessening of the rain, three of us decided to run for it, leaving the other two to stay there and talk about life. As the rain slowed even more, we headed for our cars, all the time continuing our conversations. Suddenly, this silver Volkswagen Bug pulls up next to us with a couple inside. A future yuppie and current preppy is driving, and he's appropriately dressed for the part. Next to him sits a very attractive woman in a gray skirt suit looking attire. And the players are all now assembled. We're talking, it's raining, they're kissing, it's starting to pick up, both the rain and the couple. The last of my companions leave as we finish our conversation, and as a joke, he says that I should throw those to a couple of Trojans as I'm moving towards my car. For some unknown reason, I turned around just in time to see two of the three pieces of that gorgeous skirt suit go flying into the back seat, and the former wearer riding in the front seat backwards. Wanna know what the real difference between the sexes are? Car fucking. Women will strip down almost naked, where a man will pull up his pants or pull down his pants and up his shirt just enough to get the job done. And by the way, it was her skirt that stayed on. They're bouncing, it's raining, so is he. My phone's ringing, and this one's going to go to voicemail because these two are getting more excited. Beeps keep ringing out through the night. He won't let her up off the steering wheel. He keeps leaning forward and hitting the horn with her body as if to announce the entire world, "We're fucking! We're fucking! We're fucking! Oh, baby, I love you forever. This time I really mean it. Fucking!" And apparently, this only excites her even more because the only thing louder than the beeps are her screams of passion. It's raining, they're spasming, and half of the restaurant has now emptied to see the show. Moving her hair after the last spasm, the look of shock appears all over the face. Why is it the first thing exhibitionists do when they're caught is cover up? We've already seen everything. It's raining, he's starting to call, and we're applauding with golf claps. As I stand there, 2:30 in the morning, cell phone vibrating in my pocket, wet, dazed, confused, and goddammit, I want to do it all again tomorrow.
All right, if you want to get more of Link's fun antics in your life, he doesn't really have social media, but he is in charge of the Dayton Poetry Slam Instagram. If you want to see his stuff, he posts on there, and he also posts pictures of the people who read at every Poetry Slam, which is awesome, and he posts updates so you can keep track of what's going on there. Mm-hmm. So you can follow that at Dayton Poetry Slam on Instagram, and then there's also a Facebook page for Dayton Poetry Slam. I think it's just called Dayton Poetry Slam.
Just Dayton Poetry Slam.
And so, yeah, it's all lowercase, no spaces or anything, just Dayton Poetry Slam. So give that a follow. Okay, so our next guest, I was so excited that he was responsive and willing to send us a poem. He is the first poet that I ever saw as a feature at the Poetry Slam.
Me too.
You too?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the first time Aisha ever
read. Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's that was, awesome. Yeah.
I will never forget that.
Yeah, I'll never forget that night either. So this poet, his name is Zach Hanna, and I remember just being mesmerized by his
absolutely
poems.
Absolutely wowed.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I remember as he was reading, I was like, we're coming to this every single time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thank you for being such an amazing first feature, Zach. And we are very excited to present his poem, Heaven.
Heaven. You go in peaceful, out violent. You go in violent. You go out violent. You go in and the air is ice cream and you breathe flavor and you go out and the sails haven't hugged the sky for days and you go out and the water is all of your lover's whispers and you drown in bliss and goosebumps and you go out and the moon is the care you could not provide and you go in and the grass is the list of your favorite names and you go in and the waves crashing on the rocks are the smiles of your favorite people and you go out and the waves crashing on the rocks carry you with them and you go out and your sky rivers do their best to wash you prepared to tumble and strip you of all the unnecessary preparations. But first, you are on this dance floor between fear and flood, where conditions matter. So act like it, not dance in front of the entrance, peaceful and violent.
That was Heaven by Zach Hanna. If you want to follow him, His Instagram name is Low Class Poet. I don't know if he has Twitter. He said everything else was Low Class Poet. So, yeah, so it's all lowercase, just Low Class Poet. And then you can also follow his page on Facebook. It's just Zach Hanna. Check him out. His poetry's amazing.
Actually, his posts on Facebook also just sound like poetry.
Yes.
And it's really funny.
Absolutely. You're right.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
He's very cool. Now's our time to publicly proclaim that we would love for him to be a feature.
Absolutely.
So if the people in charge of that could get that in the works, that would be great. Come back to Dayton, please. All right. Thank you.
So the next poet is a Dayton local. Adore her. She is the most so friendly cute. Person ever. Just so cute. Mm-hmm. Her name is Polly Lawson, and this poem is called Fat.
Fat positive, fat acceptance, fat, fat, fat. Double chins and stretch mark skin, healthy at every size, healthy at my size, healthy lies. I could eat one almond every day and still gain. I could smell the thought of pizza and crave the taste when nothing tastes as good as skinny feels, which feels like bones breaking through skin. I can't go back there. I can't listen to the little voice saying, you can never win. You can never be thin enough. I betrayed that little voice when I decided to live. I decided to give myself permission to transfigure my figure into triple-digit figures. I avoid scales like I avoided math class in high school. Always too many numbers. When I was in high school, my friend group fought to see who was underweight, too thin to give blood, but the winner never won because there was always someone thinner. Thin privilege, body positive, body acceptance. This body has gotten unwanted attention by those who wanted attention. How can I accept this body who has betrayed me? Allowed me to yo-yo new fad diets, fake control. Is my soul just that little voice? I still hear her. That girl there. She is thinner than you, and by thinner, I mean better than you, and I bet you could be better if you weren't so fucking fat.
All right.
That was Fat by Polly Lawson. Yes, we love Polly. If you're local, you should start coming to the Poetry Slams. We're just going to keep saying that, because mm-hmm. Polly gives an amazing performance every time.
Every single time.
And has she won a slam recently, did she not?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Well, it may have been one that I wasn't there for, because I missed a couple lately.
Okay, yeah, right. But yeah, she's amazing. We love Polly. Thanks, Polly!
Polly Pocket. So this next poet, you heard before because I read one of her poems, Quiet Storm, reading Acceptance.
Acceptance was all I had left. How rigid its teeth were when it decided to swallow me whole. So dark and vast, my body. So abstract and dense most days. Do you know how overwhelming it is to have a mind that hates the body both reside in? Its automatic demise. No sensory precautions to what we'll think of next. How when I am naked in the mirror, I default to my peripheral vision. I've been side-eyeing my reflection for years now. Hanging on to my extra elasticity that hangs off of my frame. I've never loved my body like I should. Unconditional and without judgment. But how do I play God to a body I never thought of as holy? As enough. Nowadays, I am learning to look my reflection in the face, graze my hands across all my uneven parts. I can't stand here and tell you that this has been a smooth transition. The self-love is as delicate as a flower. Most of the time, it is harsh, taxing. Most days, I wake up and think, what lie will mine construct about our body today? But I am learning to love this skin of mine. This overlooked canvas. I've always gravitated towards abstract works of art. Found them to be captivating and mysterious. The same way I am learning to find myself. And that's that piece, y'all. Hope you enjoyed. Again, I'm Quiet Storm, one of the co-hosts of the Dayton Poetry Slam. Check us out if you can. Thanks.
All right, that was Acceptance by Quiet Storm. She is on Instagram as what, Morgan?
Quiet underscore Storm Gem City, all lowercase. You can also find her on Twitter at capital BDM92. And then you can also follow her on Facebook at Brianna McGowan. Quiet Storm is also one of the co-hosts of the Dayton Poetry Slam. We actually have the whole trifecta.
We do
today. Yes, we so do. That's awesome. Her poems are amazing. We are lucky to be able to see her perform.
I'm a super big fan of Quiet Storm. Yeah, I think her writing is just so beautiful.
I agree.
Oh my gosh. She kills it every single time.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you for contributing, Quiet Storm.
Thank you so much.
Do we want to complete the trifecta?
Yeah.
All right. So our next poet is Jonathan Galleon. We love him. He's another one of the first poets that I remember, like, just hearing his poem and being like, holy shit. Yeah, so
Jonathan honestly, will have you like, oh my god, can I do this? Can I really do this?
Right.
He's so good. Yeah,
I feel like I've gone to most poetry slams for the past 3 years, and still, when he reads, my response is, damn.
Holy shit!
Yeah. So, this is Jonathan reading his poem titled String Music.
After Nero learned the Star Spangled Banner, the first thing he did was change the key. B-flat major to B-flat minor. It still sounded like America, though. Like the 21st century, rallentando, so gradual that it felt like a lazy summer day, stuck between the humidity and the haze of smog, keeping watch over the next town, dropped into lento, full dirge, as the leaves changed from yellow to orange to brown. A violin stood center stage, Nero played solo, flirting with death, wrapping the notes around the remnants of what was, trailing a black Cadillac, stuck first gear, pine box, rotting out from the inside, letting the Midwest go first for a change while the coasts clung to the past, like the last breath of oxygen before they drowned, and Nero swore the music was beautiful, the people sang along, a fanfare not yet ready to mourn, still not paying attention, still waiting for somebody to yell play ball. All custom, all reflex, all America the Beautiful wrapped Catherine Lee Bates patriotic poetry around Samuel Ward's hymn. But the seas do not shine anymore, all petroleum is cellophane, mountains beaten purple strip mined, blue collar workers coughing up coal dust, watches the amber waves of grain slip through their fingers, prosperity draining like time through an hourglass. And Nero played on. Slipped to Irving Berlin, God bless America. Now desperate, screaming, bow, no rosin, drug across frayed strings, melody creaking like a long neglected door closing for good. Broke the key of C major into D sharp minor. As prayer turns to a plea of desperation, night has lasted too long, guiding light burnt out. We find Nero's violin, now fiddle, now folk song, now Woody Guthrie trembling in his last days in the cold, sterile confines of Creedmoor Psychiatric Center, his people still standing in the shadow of the steeple, still hungry. And Nero still plays F minor. Snow falls on the once fruited plains, the alabaster cities no longer gleaming, human tears falling. Nero plays on, coda decrescendo, pianissimo, fin.
That was Jonathan Galleon with String Music. If you want to follow Jonathan, you can find him on Instagram at Jonathan Galleon. I'm going to spell that for you because there are lots of ways to spell Jonathan and Galleon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's JohnathanGallienne. All lowercase, no punctuation. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Jonathan. We're going to have him on eventually, too.
Yes, he will be. I feel bad. I hope he doesn't feel bad that we have not invited him yet. We just have a lot of people that we want on.
Yeah, yes, and he is definitely one of them. So is Quiet Storm. I told her we're having her on.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
We want Quiet Storm on the show.
So our next reader is one of the co-host of Kinda Well Done, which you can find on YouTube, and I believe they're Kinda Well Done on Instagram as well. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. I love watching their YouTube videos. They do video game playthroughs, and they have really good banter. So check them out. And this is Evan Weiler reading, "I am the very model of a tired-ass millennial."
This is my original poem, and I'll be reading two today. My first is, "I am the very model of a tired-ass millennial. I am the very model of a tired-ass millennial. The information era has depressions quite perennial. I know the names of many folks whose death became political, from Brown to Floyd and Taylor to all victims unequivocal. I'm very well acquainted with tragedy sans precedent. I've witnessed many war crimes by our active sitting president. Political correctness toes the line of moral apathy, and of my 99 problems, you ain't even seen the half of me. I'm very good at overthinking anything and everything. Yes, I graduated, but I didn't learn a goddamn thing. I'm rhyming thing with thing. My flow is quite terrestrial, for I am the very model of a tired-ass millennial. Mentally divergent is another name for empathy. I'm on some kind of spectrum, and I do not mean biology. I care too much about things that have not a thing to do with me, like how actors slapping actors is a patsy for a society to forget the role the U.S. played in Ukrainian democracy. Instead of loving myself, I searched in perpetuity to find someone whose loving could clear up some ambiguity. Red flags are easy when you see them with visual acuity, but wearing them can leave you cursed with improper promiscuity. Then I can write a scathing clap or possibly this very song and tell you all about how season 8 of Game of Thrones went wrong. But when it comes to U.S. crimes and slavery tricentennial, I am the very model of a tired-ass millennial."
All right, that was Evan reading "I Am the Very Model of a Tired-Ass Millennial," and this one is called "Everything."
My second poem is also an original piece, and it is called "Everything." Poppy seeds, sesame seeds, pepper, and salt. According to bagel lore, this is what makes up everything. Dark matter, matter, dark energy. According to science, this is what makes up everything. If pastries and physics can summarize everything, then where do we fit in? I'm certainly not a topping for a pastry, but I do happen to consist of matter. So what am I? And what are you? Am I a collection of various spices and seeds sprinkled on a piece of bread? Am I a bunch of particles that happen to be vibrating in a pattern that we have come to call life and sentience? If I was a bagel, could you taste my dreams? Would my fears and doubts carry a slightly bitter aftertaste to the umami of my soul? If I put everything that I am into a bagel, would it collapse on itself? Am I the collection of every decision, every mistake, and every rejection? Or am I more than the sum of my parts? Does the bagel ever worry that the salt might not be for everyone, or that the sesame seeds made a mistake? Does the salmon or cream cheese that meets with the bagel ever make the bagel question, am I meant to carry everything everywhere, all at once? If I am just a vibrating mass of particles in this one dimension, is my core being an illusion? Am I really just a meat puppet piloted by a bunch of electrical signals that have created the semblance of a soul? Well, I am me. I am the me that I see, and the me that each and every one of you see. We both create and observe reality at the same time in a cycle so fast you can't tell the difference. And if I am creating and observing all of these versions across all of these different places, alongside every other person doing the exact same thing, then maybe who I am is an answer too complex for us to comprehend. And hell, across all universes, I might be a poet, a mother, a talking chair, a horrible eldritch abomination, or maybe somewhere out there, I am an everything bagel sitting on a bakery counter. Thank you.
All right, that was Evan reading "Everything." Thank you so much for contributing. You can follow Evan's Twitter at Project Dawn Buff. That's Project Dawn, D-A-W-N, Buff, B-U-F-F. And then we plugged his Kinda Well Done at the
beginning. Yeah, so. Definitely. And I think you can follow them on Twitch, too, because they do a lot of Elden Ring live plays on Twitch. So mm-hmm. I know KWD Voracia for... I should spell that, but I don't know how, so good luck.
I'll link that. It in the show notes.
And then, yeah, I don't know what Evans is. It might be that.
Yeah, it's Project Dawn Buff.
Yeah, okay.
I think.
Cool.
All right. All right. Okay, our next poet
is a friend that we met at the Poetry Slam. Her name is Ada Wood, and she is going to be reading her poem, Who's a Good Boy?
My big brother taught me how to spell God in the unfinished basement of a house that will always be home. He played on the computer that made a game of war. I was allowed to watch. Like all the best practitioners of war, he cheated, made himself invincible, called it God mode. I don't remember how we got on the topic of spelling. I was young and learning. Maybe he was just being charitable. I knew the letters, but not how the sounds all worked together. I knew dog, D-O-G. He told me it was the same as dog, but the opposite. I knew the word opposite. D-O-D-G-O-D-O. It took a long time. For some reason, I couldn't figure it out. We actually gave up. It came to me like an epiphany. Like I imagined those devout from the stories, like only the half-dead could have. G-O-D. On that day, in the musty basement with insulation the color of a sinus infection spilling out of the child-made holes in the plastic sheeting on the walls, my big brother taught me more about God than I ever learned in church. And a question left begging. If dog is man's best friend, what is its opposite?
That was Ada W. Wood reading Who's a Good Boy. Like I said, we met Ada at the Poetry Slam. She just started going pretty recently, and we're trying not to scare her off from continuing to go. I specifically get a little high energy at the Poetry Slams, but we're excited to see you at the Poetry Slams again, Ada. If you want to see more of Ada, you can follow her on Instagram at switching_2_analog. That's switching_2_analog. Thanks, Ada.
Thank you.
All right. I'm very excited about our next poet. This gentleman was one of my He was my favorite professor when I was going to college at McMurray College in Illinois. He taught Gothic literature. That was, I think, the first class that I had him in. He also taught a whole slew of Shakespeare classes and Sherlock Holmes classes and several others that I'm sure I'm forgetting. I'm not doing this man justice. He has written a few volumes of poetry as well as an epic poem.
Oh, that's cool.
And I will type out the names in the, I should have written the names of his poetry books and his epic poem down, but I will put them in the show notes for everyone to check out. His name is Dr. Robert Seufert, and I just adore this man. He hosts poetry readings in Jacksonville, Illinois, which is that's one of the reasons I wanted to reach out to him. It's where my former college was located.
We should try to go to that, I'm not kidding.
Okay, that would be excellent.
That would be so much fun.
I'll check in with him. Once again, thank you for submitting Dr. Seufert. This is him reading Bronx Nocturne.
Bronx Nocturne. Awake in bed all night, or most of it. Only the clear song of an occasional L train, bending along the distant rails, breaking the silence. The beautiful, unearthly song of steel in stress. The sky above the city begins to whiten, as if bleached. Only you are here, awake in your room, listening to the silent music of your own blues. Only in darkness is thy shadow clear, your mind recalls. The clock ticks smugly. You look through the window and begin to think of the pale dawn spreading around the hum of a million air conditioners, and wonder behind how many is another stifled death. Independent and alone, like stars they seem, and beautiful, yet pooled somehow tonight into the soul of the city, like the hum of a million air conditioners. The city sings like a black woman in pain, and her song is as clear as the singing of an L train bending along the distant rails.
That was Robert Seufert reading Bronx Nocturne. Like I said, I'm going to put in the show notes the names of his poetry books are, because I have copies of all of them from at least 2016 or 2017. I don't know if he's released anymore. But thank you, Dr. Seufert.
Thank you so much. It's great to hear
from you. Well, that's it for our guest readers. Mm-hmm. I want to thank everyone who took the time out of their lives to record a poem and send it to us.
We appreciate you so much. I know Morgan threatened to knock your teeth out if you didn't do it, so thank you so much for accepting her threats.
Pretty stern about with you guys about that. You know how I am. I can be a big meanie when I want
just
to.
Just such a hard ass all the time.
But I really am so thankful to all of you. I've been so excited. As soon as Aisha said we should have people record themselves doing their favorite poems and send it to us, I was like, this is the best idea in the world. This might be a better idea than just having a podcast. Mm-hmm. This is, but so I've been very excited about this.
And I appreciate you taking the reins. I had the idea, but you got people to do that.
Yes!
Yeah.
Well, I got kind of manic, and I was like, I have the ability to talk to other humans. And I had one night where I had social capabilities and I reached out to everybody, and then several days where I didn't respond to any texts from anybody that I love, and then I was able to be social again. No, I'm just kidding. But no.
I want to be an introvert.
You're all lovely people, and I had a great time interacting with all of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again. And thank you to our listeners for showing up. There are people out there that listen to us. I like to forget about that. I sometimes turn on my blinders and just feel like I'm having a loud conversation with one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. But in reality, there are people that actually do listen to us. And thank you for actually listening to us.
Thank you.
We wouldn't be here without you. So thanks.
Thanks.
I
think that's it.
Yeah. If you want to follow our social media, that would be so cool of you.
Yeah, seriously.
You can follow us on Instagram at Goodreads_betterfriends. You can follow our Tumblr page, which is where we post all of the show notes. I just put a bunch of links all up everywhere.
And I just be posting shit, to be honest.
Oh, so yeah, she'd be posting
I just
shit.
Use it like it's my personal Tumblr, so.
Is it book-related, at least?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Usually books and cats and books.
That's excellent. All right, that works for our whole vibe. Yeah. Okay, so you can follow our Tumblr page at goodreadsbetterfriendspod@tumblr.com. Is our Twitter active right now?
I mean, it is. I just... Yeah. I really think the only thing I post on there is when we upload an episode, I try to make sure to post it so they're in here.
That's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you can follow our Twitter at gr_bfpod, and you can email us at goodreadsbetterfriendspodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you if you have any feedback. Heck, if you have recordings of yourself reading poetry,
we can
put that in the show anytime. It doesn't have to be Poetry Month.
Honestly.
Yeah, share your art poetry with us, and we'll share your art with others.
Yes.
That's what we wanted to do in the first place.
Yes.
So, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, do you want to put your social?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at i-ish-ug. I think it's dash. It might be underscore.
I know.
I have, and I think it's underscore. There are animals moving in the bushes. Okay, let me just double check. It's i_ish_ug. Sorry. <Wow. laughs>
This has been 2 years that you've been saying dash. It's fine. Mine never changes. It is certified_morganic.
That's underscore, not dash.
Not dash. Wait, now I'm questioning. No, I'm just kidding. It's underscore. So yeah, you can follow me there. I don't twit. That was stupid. I shouldn't have said that. I don't have Twitter because
I like how I said it after you, while you were saying it was stupid.
Whoops. I like tried to pretend like I was a hip granny, but I'm not.
You are a hip granny.
Yeah, maybe.
When you wear those light pink glasses, you're a hip granny.
Hey, buddy.
Bellicle.
Yeah, I do look a little granny sometimes. Okay, this has been the longest goodbye ever. This is like a Southern mother goodbye. So anyways,
Bella had to get in here and say hi. Sorry.
She did. We love you all. Thank you for listening.
See you on the next episode.
Bye.
Ruff. Thank you, Bella.